He saw heaven opened, and something like a large sheet being let down to earth by its four corners. It contained all kinds of four-footed animals, as well as reptiles of the earth and birds of the air. Then a voice told him, "Get up, Peter, kill and eat." "Surely not, Lord," Peter replied. "I have never eaten anything impure or unclean." The voice spoke to him and said a second time, "Do not call anything impure that God has made clean." This happened three times, and immediately the sheet was taken back to heaven.
All through the Bible, you hear about the Jews and the Gentiles. Only two categories. No Lutherans or Presbyterians or Baptists or Catholics or Methodists or Seventh-day Adventists. Just Jews or Gentiles. Years ago, when I first started reading the Bible cover to cover, I would often get to the book of Psalms, and it would be summer, so that would be the end of my reading. When January came again, I couldn't start in the middle, so I had to start at the beginning again. After a while, I became much more proficient in the reading of the Old Testament studies than the New Testament, just because I read it more. I developed a fondness and a respect for the Hebrew people as I studied their long, arduous history of trials and tribulations. I gave considerable thought to the concept that they were God's chosen people, a people that was meant to reflect the ways and the thoughts of God to all the nations around them. The Bible says that if God's people will honor God, God will honor them. One day, I was visiting my brother at the Jewish Healthcare and Rehabilitation Center in Worcester. When it was time for me to leave, and I got on the elevator, there was an elderly man sitting there in his wheelchair and his attendant. They were riding down with me to the first floor, where they were going to the lovely little synagogue that is located there. The man had a blue-black ink number tattooed on his arm. I can still remember standing there in the corner of the elevator, tall and quiet, and my mind and heart was drawn to the magnitude of suffering that this number represented, and I wondered what concentration camp he had been in. But later, with a little bit of research, I learned that during the Holocaust, the only concentration camp that prisoners received a tattooed number was in Auschwitz. The man in the elevator had the number 77400. The two sevens had a line through it, as they do sometimes in Europe when they write the number seven. And in the middle, with a number four just under it, was an upright triangle. The triangle identified a prisoner as being Jewish. If the triangle was down this way, that meant they were a gypsy. To my knowledge, and perhaps I am wrong, I don't think any of us were born Jewish that are here today in the sanctuary. Please forgive me if that's a wrong assumption. Though when I visited Jerusalem, I separated myself from the tour group and went to a small shop and bought a drawing of a woman at the Wailing Wall. The artist was a pleasant older gentleman, and while we chatted with one another, he asked me if I lived there. I said no, and then he said, "But you're not a tourist." And I said, "Yes, I am." Then he said, "But you are Jewish." And I replied, "Sir, my father is 100% Irish." He ignored that answer and said, "We do not trace our ancestry through our fathers. What was your mother?" By now, I was totally amused with this conversation and answered, "My mother is half English and half Portuguese." "Ah," he smiled with relief, "it's the Portuguese. You're a Portuguese Jew." He did not insist that I was Jewish.
He knew I was.
Who knows? I say we represent the rest of God's chosen people. We are the Gentiles. That is an easy phrase for us to recite. But when Jesus was in the midst of his ministry, it was by no means an easy concept to accept for the Jews or the Gentiles. I think that the mighty God of heaven and earth would open his arms to all the Jews and the Gentiles, and to them it was a radical new idea. Even now, there are many who find great difficulty in accepting this truth. As a congregation, I know that we are aware of the many man-made rules and regulations that Jews were expected to keep in the Old Testament times. They were also very dedicated to keeping the Ten Commandments that we were given by God through Moses. Laws given to us by God are infinitely more genuine and profound than those generated by people who are motivated by power and control. As a Christian, I am completely committed to obeying the Ten Commandments, as well as the guidelines for daily living and behavior that we can all find in the Bible. I am also humbled when God redirects me if my interpretations of his word lean too far to the letter of the law and not to the spirit of the law. Forgive me, I'm rambling now. It was close to almost 4 years ago when I first met that man on the elevator, and I am still wondering if there is a reason I was put into his company. And I found some understanding in Acts chapter 10, when God redirected Peter. If you would open your Bibles, and if you have a pew Bible, it's on page 1090. Please turn to Acts 10, chapter 10, verse 1. We're just going to read this story together. 1090 in your Bibles. Now, the first part of this story is Cornelius. He is the Gentile. At Caesarea, there was a man named Cornelius, a centurion, what was known as the Italian regiment. He and all his family were devout and God-fearing. He gave generously to those in need and prayed to God regularly. So this centurion was in charge of 100 soldiers. And he was a Roman. He was a Gentile. One day, at about 3 in the afternoon, he had a vision, and he distinctly saw an angel of God who came to him and said, "Cornelius," can you imagine having an angel of God come to you and speak your name? Cornelius stared at him in fear. "What is it, Lord?" he asked. The angel answered, "Your prayers and your gifts to the poor have come up as a memorial offering before God. Now send men to Joppa," which was 30 miles south from where he was, "to bring back a man named Simon, who is called Peter. He is staying with Simon the tanner, whose house is by the sea." When the angel who spoke to him had gone, Cornelius called two of his servants and a devout soldier, who was one of his attendants. He told them everything that had happened and sent them to Joppa. Imagine having people who believed in this man who was their boss. He was so devout that they loved the Lord because he did, and they were willing to take this 30-mile trip to find this man called Peter. So there's Cornelius, the Gentile, and he's going to go find a Jewish person. Peter's vision. About noon the following day, as they were on their journey and approaching the city, Peter went up on the roof to pray. He became hungry and wanted something to eat, and while the meal was being prepared, he fell into a trance. He saw heaven opened and something like a large sheet being let down to the earth by its four corners. It contained all kinds of four-footed animals, as well as reptiles of the earth and birds of the air. And then the voice told Peter, "Get up, Peter, kill and eat."
"Surely not, Lord," Peter replied. "I have never eaten anything impure and unclean."
The voice spoke to him a second time, "Do not call anything that God has made clean unclean." This happened three times, and immediately the sheet was taken back up to heaven. While Peter was wondering about the meaning of this vision, the men sent by Cornelius found out where Simon's house was and stopped at the gate. They called out asking if Simon, who was known as Peter, was staying there. Now I have to stop just for a minute. Here's the Lord, 30 miles away over here, speaking to a man in a vision, telling him to go meet this man, way over here. And then at the same time, the next day, he's telling this man that this man's going to come to meet him. Do you think he intended for those two to meet? Absolutely. I think this is interesting because when I was in college, I had this very interesting person who lived next door to me in the dorm. I didn't realize till later that she was the pusher and the seller of drugs, because drugs were just starting there. I'm just old enough to be at the beginning of this. And she came into my room, never spoke to me, really. She said, "Kathleen, come with me. There's someone you need to meet." She walked all the way down the dorm over to the other side, to the first floor, opened the door, and there was this young woman sitting on her bed reading, and she goes, "Jean, this is Kathleen. Kathleen, this is Jean. I want you to know each other. I think you should." She never talked to me again, and Jean and I are still friends 50 years later. So when I read these stories, every time we read the Bible, we have to know that it's true. And there's ways that we can identify with it if we just think about things that happen in our lives. Okay, continue. Verse 19. While Peter was still thinking about the vision, the Spirit said to him, "Simon, three men are looking for you, so get up and go downstairs. Do not hesitate to go with them, for I have sent them." Why was he going to hesitate? Because they were Gentiles, and Jews didn't hang out with Gentiles. 21. Peter went down and said to the men, "I'm the one you're looking for. Why have you come?" The men replied, "We have come from Cornelius the centurion. He is a righteous and God-fearing man who is respected by all the Jewish people. A holy angel told him to have you come to his house so that he could hear what you have to say." Then Peter invited the men into the house to be his guests. We know that this is the first action of Peter to show that he was going to receive the Gentiles, because a Jew would not invite Gentiles to go into their house. The sheet let down and then taken back up to heaven makes me think of an elevator. An elevator filled with a message from God. God's thoughts are not our thoughts. His thoughts are deep and wide and life-giving. I know exactly how Peter felt when he saw those four-footed animals and reptiles of the earth and birds of the air. He saw heaven opened and something like a large sheet being let down to the earth by its four corners. Full of what? Now let's see. Four-footed animals, possibly a possum, raccoons, skunks, squirrels, and reptiles. Could they have been snakes, lizards, or turtles, alligators, or crocodiles? How about the birds? Well, maybe a pelican, or an ostrich, or a peacock, or a vulture. Yum! No wonder Peter told God, "No way, I'm not going to eat any of those." This was what happened to me. I have served the most genuine, God-fearing people that I have ever known for the last 2 years as their interim minister. In my opinion, they are humble, kind, generous-hearted men and women who get up every day and put on Christ's robe of righteousness. Without any do-gooders checklist, applause, or a news reporter's acknowledgement, these Christians simply serve God in ways that they know how. They are the kind of people that make you feel better about yourself for just hanging out with them. Last Saturday night, they had their annual ham and bean supper. I innocently told the woman in charge that I could do any job she assigned to me, anything at all that she needed. You know what she asked me to do? Put the sliced ham on the plates. Oh, Lord, what am I going to do? Should I call her back and say, please, please, I can do anything, I can do anything else, except they can't touch that ham? Then I prayed. I prayed with all my might in my heart, and I was willing to do anything that God told me to do. All of a sudden, a white sheet from heaven was let down in front of me. There were no crocodiles or lizards or snakes or squirrels, only piles and piles and piles of sliced ham. That night, I went into the kitchen, I put on an apron, and I moved the ham from the hot plates to the platters. It was rubbery, stinky, gross, horrible ham, a meat that in all my life I have never touched and never eaten. Like Peter, I bowed my head and I listened to God. These people, whom I have served with all my heart and all my soul for the last 2 years, standing in the pulpit, systematically teaching the Word of God from Genesis to Revelation, watching their faces while they faithfully pored over the scriptures with me every single Sunday morning. There was no way that I was going to be tempted by Satan to choose self-righteousness over love. The story of the elevator sheet let down from heaven was not about the hams and the clams and the crocodiles. It was about the Jews and the Gentiles being chosen by God, being loved by the same God. Let me just finish by reading. You can just look over into verse 34. We're still in chapter 10. 34. Then Peter began to speak. I now realize how true it is that God does not show favoritism, but accepts men from every nation who fear him and do what is right. You know the message God sent to the people of Israel, telling the good news of peace. Through Jesus Christ, who is Lord, you know, we all know, the message of love between the Jews and the Gentiles. Amen. And now we are going to sing the closing hymn, 573.
It may not be on the mountain's height or over the stormy sea. It may not be at the battle's front, my Lord will have need of me. But if by a still small voice he calls to paths I do not know, I'll answer, dear Lord, with my hand in thine, I'll go where you want me to go, dear Lord, or mountain or plain or sea. I'll say what you want me to say, dear Lord. I'll be what you want me to be. Perhaps today there are loving words that Jesus would have me speak. There may be now in the paths of sin some wanderer whom I should see. Oh, Savior, if thou wilt be my guide, though dark and rugged the way, my voice shall echo the message sweet. I'll say what you want me to say. I'll go where you want me to go, dear Lord, or mountain or plain or sea. I'll say what you want me to say, dear Lord. I'll be what you want me to be. There's surely somewhere a lowly place in earth's harvest field so wide, where I may labor through life's short day for Jesus the crucified. So trusting my all unto thy care, I know thou lovest me. I'll do thy will with a heart sincere. I'll be what you want me to be. Say what you want me to say, dear Lord. I'll be what you want me to be.
Heavenly Father, we count ourselves children of yours. Help us to shine as you would have us to shine. Let us live the lives that you plan for us to live. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.